Jesus was born. Shepherds visited. Man and a woman in the temple marveled at the baby. Woman kind of said, "All right, that's it. Everything's fine. I can go now. I have seen the one." The Magi visited and brought gifts with them, and the new family was ready to settle in and live. And they learned pretty quickly that things were too good to be true. It had been a while. I mean, it's probably a couple years at least. But now that was abruptly changed. The happy family life, their secure home, their peaceful existence came to an abrupt halt. Their family wasn't in danger. It was real, real danger. Jesus was in danger, real danger. They had to flee, leaving everything except what they could carry. Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, they fled for their lives from danger, away from their ancestral home, away from where they hoped to start life as a family together. They fled and they found a safe haven in Egypt. This was the country that long ago had provided shelter and food for their people during a time of famine. This is also the country whose government had forced them to work as slaves. And you wonder what they found. What did they find in Egypt? Hospitality? Did they have enough to make ends meet? Did they find work? Were the gifts from the Magi enough to carry them through? Was this land of Egypt, where they were refugees, was it a place where the historical animosity was present, or were the people able to live in peace together, treating one another as equals and as friends? I don't know that the Bible reading doesn't tell us. They were there, and Joseph got another dream, and they left, and they went to Nazareth. Bible doesn't answer the question, but we still get to ask it. We get to ask there from Jesus, and we get to ask it of ourselves when we read this. What would we do if we were fleeing? What would we do if we were presented with an opportunity to offer a safe haven or hospitality, refuge to a family who sought a safe haven? Joseph and Mary and Jesus lived and worked and survived until the government in their home changed. And things got more peaceful, and they were able to return. They went to Nazareth without fearing for their lives. And the baby and the family grew as they lived in peace with their neighbors. And again, we don't know exactly how it went. We don't hear much about Jesus until he was 12 then in the temple. We don't hear much about him after that, until changing the water into wine a long time later. I do have a few stories that aren't in the Bible that are cute and interesting, and we wonder, did Jesus really form a bird out of clay and then make it fly away? Did Jesus really play up on the roof with a bunch of kids and one of them fell off? You know what happens if you fall from a high height? And did all the kids that were there say, "Jesus pushed him"? And did Jesus go and bring him back to life and say, "You tell them that I didn't push you"? These are stories that are not in the biblical record, but are present in writings of Jesus. We don't know a lot about his childhood, but we wonder, how were those first few years as Mary, Joseph, and Jesus lived as refugees? And we know that today there are other people who flee for their lives. Of course there are. Refugees from the Middle East, from Afghanistan, from Somalia, from Syria. They're fleeing from the same place that Mary and Joseph and Jesus fled. Some people might tell the refugees, sorry, no vacancy here. Go somewhere else. Some would look at them and say that it's too dangerous to let them into their country. Others would demonize refugees because of their religion. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph could have experienced that same thing. They fit the profile of people who shouldn't be protected by some people who are afraid of them. They came from an area where the king was trying to do awful things. We can't house you. It's too dangerous. We're not sure what you're really about. What are we doing now? As we are presented with opportunities to offer safe haven, hospitality, refuge for families who seek that safe haven. And what will we do? What will we do as we continue to be presented with opportunities to offer safe haven, hospitality, refuge for a family or for anyone who seeks safe haven? Safe haven, hospitality, refuge. It's what Jesus, Mary, and Joseph needed. As we read what happened there, as we wonder, we know that they got out. We know that they got to live a peaceful life. They got to go back home. Safe haven, hospitality, refuge for someone who lives far away or for someone who already lives in this country. The plight of people who do not have a homeland to go to or who do not have a home to go back to is awful, and we must be a place of safe haven and refuge and hospitality. Also, here in this country, there are people who are marginalized, who are exploited, who are demonized for who they are, and they live as refugees without a home, without a place to go to because of their religion. Maybe they changed it, or maybe they just have the wrong religion for the place where they live because of their skin color. We still do that. Do we still do that? Why? Because of mental health issues. We throw up our arms. I don't know what to do with them. Because of socioeconomic status. I really heard this phrase. The phrase was, not all homeless people are created equal. Some are worse than others. People who don't have a lot of money don't have a lot of money. People who are homeless don't have a home and need a home. When we try to marginalize by saying things like that, and it didn't happen here. I didn't hear it from voices in our congregation, but I heard it from Christian voices, overheard. Well, drinking coffee. Marginalized, exploited, demonized, cast out because of sexual orientation. I'm sorry, you love the wrong person. Can't do that. Because of nationality. You come from the wrong country. Your ancestors come from the wrong country. I don't like the color of your skin. I don't like where your ancestors were. I don't like what they did. You obviously side with them. Because of gender identity and expression. Sorry, you're not going to be able to be part of our Cub Scout troop. I got a real non-pastoral response for stuff like that. Because of a lack of documentation. Folks, we can't be the people who exclude. We can't be the people who exclude in any way. like that. If we're going to be the church, if we're going to be the people who God calls us to be, then we don't marginalize, we don't exploit, we don't demonize. We side with the refugee. We side with the outcast. We side with the ones forgotten for these and many other reasons. People shouldn't feel as if there is a need to go into hiding because of who they are, because of their religion, skin color, mental health issues, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, nationality, gender identity, expression, lack of documentation. In this new year, let's rededicate ourselves to what we already know. We know the way of kindness. We know the way of compassion. We know the way of love. And we're called to live it out. We're called to live out kindness, compassion, and love, reaching out to our brother and sister in need, caring for the poor, feeding the hungry, working for justice, forgiving, welcoming the stranger, opening our doors and our hearts to all. No need for hiding. Amen.